Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Ronald McDonald didn't walk on Coca-Cola so you could drink water. No, he did not. And Ronald McDonald didn't feed the multitudes with 5 sesame seed buns and 2 100% pure Angus beef patties so you can eat salads for lunch. Ronald McDonald died on the cross for good times and great taste, not for you to worship false Burger Kings. Now can I get an I'm loving it?
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast style, sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle, and I am joined by the one, the only, everybody's fucking favorite, wearing a Burn the Priest. Look at you, Mr. Ooh. Burn the Priest. Did you actually listen to Burn the Priest before they were Lamb of God?
No, I didn't know about them until they were Lamb of God.
And don't tell anybody
like,
but me
they
that.
They used to be Burn the Priest, and I was like, oh, I'll check that out. And
you should have been like, you should tell people they sold out when they became Lamb of God.
Yeah. They didn't.
I only liked them when they were Burn the Priest.
Right. I'm going to be that guy.
And your name is Rubber City Redbeard. Yeah. Welcome back.
I mean, if you didn't listen to them back then, you're not really a fan. And, you know, their stuff's really just kind of newer, and I don't appreciate it very much. It's like, it's not a...
I used to hitchhike down to Richmond, Virginia all the time to go see them. And
I used to live right around the corner from a store that they used to go to. So, I mean, I know what I'm talking about.
But then they sold out.
I mean, look at him, dude, playing kazoos.
The Dropkick Murphys dude got into a fist fight with a fan.
Oh, is the really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I didn't really watch the whole video because it was boring. Big show, though, and Dropkick Murphys have, like, a ton of people on stage.
Yeah.
And he gave the mic to somebody in the crowd. I thought Mike ended up out there, like, you know, either way, the kid wouldn't give the mic back. Guy wouldn't give the mic back.
Really?
Yeah, so then he jumped down
there.
No,
this is mine now.
Yeah, he's like, I'm keeping this. This is a souvenir. Will you sign it? Can you sign it for me? eBay. So they got into a fist fight.
Wow.
And the I guess the singer's face, the picture that I seen, the singer's face was all bloodied up. And like, but he's like he's standing there, and like people are kind of like holding him, like they're kind of holding him back. And then there's this one dude down to the left that's looking up at the singer from the Dropkick Murphys while he's bleeding, and he's just laughing hysterically.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like the face of a friend that's like, he's doing it again. I haven't seen this in forever.
Man, you know it's going to be a rough St. Patrick's Day when the guy from Dropkick Murphys
is like bloodied up,
yeah. on like his one day, like the one day where everybody actually they
like
actually
you're
make money.
Making every bit of your ASCAP money that day. Like yeah, that's your check your one is day. Getting cut for that day.
That is your Christmas to your Santa Claus. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's it.
That is your entire year's fucking income.
It's like you and Flogging Molly. You guys get the one day where everybody is your biggest fan. And then you decide to get bloodied the fuck up. But if a dude, like, that's a weird situation. Like, I've never seen anybody go, you're not getting this back. My microphone now.
Mine.
No.
But he's probably drunk.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
St. Murphy's show.
St. Patrick's Day.
Right around St. Patty's Day.
Come on, man.
Propane.
Propane.
Those guys were fucking egotistical dickheads.
Really?
From New York, yeah.
Propane was a bunch of dickheads?
They were dicks. You didn't know they were dicks?
No.
Those guys were fucking assholes.
Don't kill yourself to live.
Yeah,
they did B-Rock.
Propane. Those guys were dicks.
Huh. I would have never assumed that Propane would be dicks.
Definitely dicks.
Wow. Why is Propane dicks?
Because they're from New York.
Is that it?
Yeah, they're like jacked up dudes from New York.
Yeah.
Just pissed off about everything. Listen to their music. Propane, the fucking name of their band. Propane.
But Biohazard was like super sweet when I met them.
Right.
They were like super nice guys. Like, you guys want to hang out? Come to our hotel?
Yeah, Propane was dicks a couple times when they came into town.
Huh.
So, I think it's safe to say that they're probably just dicks.
That's a fucking shame, man. I hate hearing that.
I know a dude who they were like hitting on this dude's wife, and dude said something to him, and he was like a fan of theirs and shit, and they wrecked him through a couple chairs, like shoved him down and shit.
Really?
Yeah, and they're hitting on his wife. They're trying to fuck his wife. And he's like, hey, that's my wife, trying to fuck my wife. And then they fucking come at him. And it's like, you were completely in the wrong. And like, you might not have known that was his wife, but after he says, hey, man, that's my wife. And they're like, wait, your reaction is to shove him to the ground, like be an asshole about the situation? Instead of just being like, my bad, dude. I didn't realize she was married. She certainly wasn't acting that way. Because she probably wasn't. But that shit happened.
Yeah.
That happened at the Voodoo, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Right.
It's terrible. I would have loved to see Propane at the Voodoo, though.
Chris Fenn from fucking Slipknot, suing Slipknot.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that. Chris Fenn from Slipknot, the needle nose gimp guy.
Pinocchio.
The gimp in the band.
Pinocchio.
Suing gimp. Them for what? Because they owe him money?
Yeah, he's saying that Slipknot isn't the only business or entity that Slipknot is making money on. So that if there's these other entities that he had no knowledge of, no prior knowledge of, that's taking in money from because of Slipknot,
mm-hmm.
and he's not getting a cut of it. That Crahan, the Sean Crahan and Corey Taylor are the only ones that are getting a cut of that.
They're Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley. And that's what I said. That's what I said. I was like, they're Gene and Paul.
Wow.
But Corey Taylor came out and said, just wait for the facts.
How about you? Just
wait for the facts to come out. Wait for the facts.
How's Corey Taylor not just giving the facts? How's he not just out
I mean, probably because it's legal. It's a legal issue.
Okay.
They're being sued, so legally they can't say anything, and I get that. Your lawyer is going to tell you to shut the fuck up.
Wait till the truth comes out, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad guy.
And I'm like, well, I mean, the dude that's been in your band since the beginning of Slipknot. And is still in your band, it just kind of pops out, and he's like, fuck you guys, I'm suing you. Like, he's still in the band.
Yeah.
You guys were just planning on touring and shit, which probably isn't going to happen now.
Well, no, they'll tour. They'll just tour without him. That's what they'll do. They'll kick him out of the band, and they'll get somebody else to wear a fucking gimp mask and play percussion.
I think Vince Bruno was the one that said something about something like Skinny firing somebody at 2 a.m.
Through
a text using his thumbs or whatever. And I was like, just like they did Joey Jordan's.
Boom.
Because they fired him with an email.
Really?
Yeah.
They fired
Jordison with an email.
That is dirty.
Yeah. Kind of like when Gene Simmons fired Eric Carr. Fired Eric Carr while he was in the hospital on his deathbed.
You could have just waited.
Could have just waited until he was dead.
Could have just waited that one out.
Could just waited until he was dead. But that happened, and that was from Bill of Coin's mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's straight from fucking Bill of Coin,
mm-hmm.
how I heard that. So.
Gene Simmons is such a fucking useless sack of shit. I love Kiss to death.
Love Paul Stanley.
Here's how you know Gene Simmons is completely useless when it comes to him and Kiss. The 1980s, Kiss would have died if they were a Gene Simmons fronted band. I can't name one song that Gene Simmons wrote or sang on in the 80s that was a fucking hit, like post makeup. So through the 80s, all the Kiss hits, once they took the makeup off, were fucking Paul Stanley. Heaven's on Fire, Tears Are Falling, Lick It Up. All Paul Stanley fronted songs. There's not one Gene Simmons fucking... He didn't sing fucking Forever. He didn't sing Let's Put the X in Sex. He didn't do that shit.
I forgot about that song.
Oh, I don't ever forget about that song.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Chris Fenn's fucking suing his homies.
Yeah, man. I mean... The argument's going to be like, how important is he to the band other than the image? Because, like, have you ever heard anybody?
He's a percussionist, right?
Yeah,
all that he is, right?
That's it.
It's going to come down to whatever they have contractually between each other as far as how the money gets divided up between the band.
Right.
That's all that's going to come down to. If all you are is a percussionist, then, you know, you can get tossed aside pretty quick.
Because when you make the money off the album sales, right? Say you're getting the money back from the songs that you wrote. There's two ways. As a performer, you get paid. And as a writer, you get paid. And I have the, and that's where like the real money comes in. That was like the whole deal between with the Smashing Pumpkins when Billy Corgan was just like, I'm fucking out. Like, you guys can all leave, because he was getting money as a songwriter. And so everybody else in the Smashing Pumpkins is looking at this dude like, why are you living in a mansion? How are you able to do that? And he's like, because I wrote the songs. And they're like, well, we kind of helped. And he's like, yeah, but I didn't give you any credit.
And you didn't ask for it.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we should get some credit so we can make as much as you. And he's like, I don't think so. That's what happened with White Zombie. That was the deal with White Zombie. That's why Rob left that band, because everybody else in the band was like, we're helping write the songs. He goes, but you're not really, though. I can do this without you.
And he can't.
He can't.
He's been writing the same shitty songs since he left.
Oh, my God, he writes the worst songs.
It's because there's no chemistry in that band.
No.
Like, the band White Zombie, those guys were awesome. You've been hiring dudes for years.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you do. You hire dudes.
And you just make this generic.
Like, kind of hard to come together as a cohesive unit that writes fucking good shit that everybody wants to hear if all you're doing is hiring different dudes.
Yeah.
When fucking what's that the three movie?
Yeah,
it's coming out because the third part to the House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah,
comes out this year on Halloween.
I've never seen Devil's Rejects.
Ooh, good movie.
Is it,
dude? Look, that's the movie that he flipped it and made you feel bad for them.
Okay,
like he like humanizes them.
Right,
right, and it was. To me, it was brilliant as far as like horror movies and shit go, because the first one was so fucked up. Like, they're a vicious, sickening, disgusting, fucking brutal family.
Right.
That just rapes and murders and rapes and murders. And the second one, they're kind of now the hunted, because the sheriff who's there now, his brother, Sheriff Waddell, was the one that was shot by the mom at the kitchen table. He comes in, she invites him inside, they're sitting down, she pulls the gun, fucking blows his fucking brains out. Right?
Okay.
So now his brother is like hunting down them as a family and shit. He's going to take them all down. He's going to make them fucking pay. So when he does finally catch up to him, he doesn't, you know, arrest him and shit. He's going to torture him. He's going to fucking murder him and shit. He's vengeance out for his fucking brother.
Right.
So when he's doing this, man, like it was just a very weird vibe to the movie, to where he kind of flips it and makes the sheriff the bad guy. And humanizes them, and you kind of get this feeling of like you're starting to feel for them. That's fucked up. Like you made people feel for sociopaths who feel for nobody except for each other, because they love each other as a family. Other than that, like they fucking don't have any feelings towards anybody else, yet you are having like these feelings for them.
It's like a Tony Soprano situation.
I thought it was a brilliant move, movie wise. That was really good. I never seen it done before.
Oh, well, maybe I'll give it a maybe I'll check it out after over a decade of it.
And they play Skinnerd in that movie.
I don't like
Skinnerd, one of the most poignant fucking parts of that movie, dude. Skinnerd.
Yeah, that's like the that's. Never got in the scanner. See, I thought House of a Thousand Corpses was good.
Me too.
But I also thought that it was a little bit better when it was called Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Aww.
I'm going to put that on my list of movies that I need to see. Like, I'm going to put that up there with Lords of Chaos, which I still haven't checked out, but it's out now digitally, which is the movie about Mayhem.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
I've heard mixed reviews. Usually, if like, it's just people going like, there's some good points, but you can tell that it's just a movie. Some people saying that it just kind of drug out. But I don't know, man. Look, man, you got Macaulay Culkin's little brother in it, so I'm in. I'll watch anything with a fucking Culkin in it. I don't give a fuck.
Macaulay's the man.
Dude, that family and their acting chops just fucking pure. Find a better group of brothers.
Who's the other Culkin?
There's Rory. There's Kieran.
I'm not familiar to the family. I just know Macaulay.
Yeah. You got the three Culkins. Hmm. Better than the Baldwins all day.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude. Fuck the Baldwins.
Whoa.
Fuck the Baldwins.
Those guys are good.
Alec was good.
Baldwins are good.
But Alec's also a dude who's just like, he's also, you know, he's just a sack of shit of a human being.
Right. He's, well, just like, isn't he the one that called his daughter a pig?
You fucking little piggy cunt.
You pig.
But then again, I have a teenager now, so like, I kind of understand.
Would you ever
like,
call your overweight daughter a pig?
No.
No, dude.
You're a fucking.
That was brutal.
You're,
I remember that, like,
piggy wiggly.
It was not like Rover put that on. I was like, oh my god, Baldwin's a dick.
There's a cunt. Since we recorded the episode, Chris Fenn from the band Slipknot has left the band. He's been kicked out of the band. We wanted to get the exclusive. So I, using my connections through the podcast world, got his phone number. So let's give him a call. Let's see what's going on. Only here on Keeping It 99. Nice ringtone.
Hello?
Chris Fenn.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Hey, you got a good connection there? You sound a little... Wearing the mask still? You got a GIMP mask on. Why are you still wearing the GIMP mask? Oh, no, I understand that. I also had troubles taking mine off. I was a GIMP for a couple years. You know, side gig kind of deal. Just never really felt like taking it off. I get where you're coming from.
Right,
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
GIMP Bros.
So we're just going to cut straight to it. Look, you were suing Slipknot, and now Slipknot is kicking you out of the band. What is exactly going on? The listeners of this show, the dozens of them, they want to know. Settle down. Is all of this true? You guys heard it here first. Holy shit. All right, I'm going to let you go. I'm trying to process now. Yeah, everything I just heard. I can't believe we just broke that story right here. Wow, Slipknot. What a bunch of terrible people. How insane is that to be Anthrax out of the Big Four? And I feel so bad for Anthrax because they're number four out of the Big Four. There's not even a fucking question about who's number four. There's a question about who's number two. There's not a question about number one. Metallica, number one, right? Who's a bigger band in the world than Metallica? Like, with as great as Slayer is, and I believe that Slayer, in my heart of hearts, has maintained being better than Metallica as far as songwriting goes, because I just like the faster, heavier shit. Metallica is one of the most famous bands in the world. They're a fucking household name to anybody. Slayer, you may have heard of, but you can't. Most people can't name fucking Rain of Blood. They can't.
But Slayer never dumbed it down.
No, they never dumbed it down.
Metallica dumbed it down for people. That's how everybody knows who Metallica is, because they decided, hey, you know what? We should get into everybody's house.
Right.
Not just these people's houses. So that's where Slayer was like, we're comfortable in this house. Fuck off.
Right. Yeah, we're making a living. We get the respect from the neckbeards out there that fucking love our shit.
Right.
Yeah. Who's number two? Who's number two? Is it Megadeth or is it Slayer? Because Megadeth, I feel like, essentially is bigger.
I think that they would be number two.
Megadeth would?
Megadeth would. Okay. I would think so. Because they were, commercially, they were way bigger.
They were. They had that good fucking 5-year period of time.
Yeah. And Metallica.
Got that history.
Right. So I think Megadeth comes in at number two just because of Mustaine.
Okay.
Rightfully, Slayer obviously should be, you know.
Slayer should be number two. Should.
I think they should be number one just because they never changed.
Right.
Bumping Metallica to two, Megadeth to three, Anthrax, who is just a completely different fucking animal than all of those.
Anthrax to me is, they're so interesting because Anthrax started off thrash band. I mean, they were just right there in it with those bands, right? All coming up together. And then all of a sudden Metallica's going on the road with Ozzy. And Metallica's fucking blowing up all over the place. And Dave Mustaine, the guy who you, like, made fun of because he was the alcoholic, like, all of a sudden, peace starts selling. And kids are buying it. They're buying that shit. They're like, oh, we're all about this. He's like, hang a team, whatever. And Slayer was fucking Slayer. Like, Slayer kind of took off with the satanic crowd, and they start touring and shit. And then Anthrax is right along for the ride. And then somewhere along the line, Anthrax is like, you know what? We're going to start wearing, like, really bright spandex tight shorts. Hear me out. We're going to start wearing these shorts, and Scott Ian, he's going to rap. He's going to rap on some stuff. Boy, heavy metal band raps a different way. We like to be different and not cliche. Well, they say rock and metal can never mix, but all of they can suck off. Sexual organ located in the lower abdominal area. Oh, man, it's dick. Ah! Yeah, let's make fun. We're going to do Beastie Boy style songs, but you're Anthrax. We don't give a fuck. We're going to start. We're going to be like, who's the man? We're going to do songs like Who's the Man or I'm the Man.
Yeah, that song ruled, though.
It did rule. And then we're going to jam with Public Enemy. This super ruled. This is where I'm getting, right? I love that era. But do you think other thrash bands and thrash fans at that fucking time were, like, completely ripping on Anthrax? Like, do you think Anthrax... Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like it really hurt Anthrax in the long run, and that's what put them at number four, was the fact that they had to go be the silly, goofy guys in the thrash scene. Because it didn't last that long. It wasn't that long of a period, but it was such a vital thing to where now when you think of Anthrax, that's what people think about. They think about that period of time. Where Anthrax was like the goofier.
I don't think of Anthrax without thinking about Public Enemy as well.
Okay. See, when I think of Anthrax, that's the very first thing that comes to my head.
But I also don't, when you say Aerosmith, I also think about Run DMC.
Do you?
Yeah, dude. I grew up loving hip-hop when I was a little kid. Like, I got to grow up at the beginning of the whole hip-hop thing. You know what I mean? And nobody but me in my house liked hip-hop. Somebody like rap music and shit. Like, my brothers fucking hated that shit. My dad wasn't down with it. You know what I mean? That was all new to them. And I liked it. So if what caught my eye on MTV as a kid, you know.
Yeah.
I love fucking hip hop back then. Rap music. It's a backseat level. That's always undercover. And I talk to my daddy saying, send your AC nothing. Show you down on a muffin. And it's sure to be a change in ways. The best cheerleader. That's a real big leader. A vibe like a reminisce. And the best thing. Love it. What's your sister and your cousin? And it started with
Anthrax, I feel like, I don't know if that really hurt them or the fact that they went away from that they decided that they were going to change doing that. They did the thing that a lot of bands in the early 90s did where grunge came along, right?
Oh, yeah.
When grunge came along.
That was like the death of so much.
Dude, yeah. Like, I think it's an understatement to say how much grunge fucking killed metal because they didn't just, it wasn't like they just killed hair metal. And it's like, oh, this is popular, now the hair metal bands went away. There was a period of time in the early 90s where the hair metal bands were like, what do we got to do to maintain our fucking credibility?
Right.
What do we got to do? So a band like Poison, who 2 years before grunge broke out, they're selling millions of records, and they're crushing millions of vaginas and shit. And they're just like, everywhere they're going, they're like, cocaine party!
Woo!
And all of a sudden, people are like, I have emotions, and I feel dumb and numb. It's like, what?
That's why we do cocaine and getting pussy.
And so Poison goes and they kick out CeCe DeVille. They bring in this dude, Richie Kotzen, and Poison put out this record that was like a grungier version. And the, like all their photo pictures of them in the early 90s were like, Motley Crue kicked out Vince fucking Neil because he was the problem. They kicked out Vince Neil and they brought in this dude, John Corabi, and they did a self-titled Motley Crue record, which I actually enjoyed as a kid. Like, it was very deep. It was a deeper, you know, like, it was like they were going Temple of the Dog was what they were trying to do.
Okay.
Like, anytime I think of early, like, one of the Motley Crue songs with John Corabi off that album, like, I, for some reason, start singing that, like, I don't mind stealing bread, even though it's not their song. I'm like, that's a Motley Crue song from that album. That's what it sounded like. Very deep, very emotional. Anthrax also did the same thing, where they kicked Joey Belladonna out of the fucking band, right? They kicked their singer out, like, because he is the definition of 80s metal singing. Like, he's just like, oh, wow!
Like, still has the hair, the fucking jeans.
Still to this day, the leather pants, you know, just rocking that shit. And they brought in this dude, John Bush, from the band Armored Saint. And John Bush, he's an awesome singer. Seems like a great dude, too, like, on top of it. And Anthrax, they also went this route of, like, they were now wearing jeans, and they looked grungier, and they were making music that was more, you know, about things that you feel. Swinging boots at teens, calmness to the rage, unpredictable.
You would see it boldly. You had it taken. So Anthrax jumped right into that early 90s
thing. And you know what? I thought Sound of White Noise was a good record.
But wasn't it just the time for, like, the generational turn?
It was.
Do you know what I mean?
Kiss, like, did it with Revenge.
Motley Crue was probably, what, 84?
Yeah.
Right-ish, around there?
Yeah, early. Yeah.
So then when grunge is coming out,
mm-hmm.
probably...
You're not even in it 10 years at that point.
Close to 10 years.
Though. Right. But,
and musically, like, you've grown a lot. So then how old was Kurt Cobain when Nirvana came out?
So, dude, he was, like... 19.
So, assumingly, he would be the same age that Motley Crue was when they came out.
Okay.
That it was just time that something fresh was coming along.
Sure.
And shit, that you have already played out your almost decade of what you do, inspiring people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, what do you think Kurt Cobain was going to be happy? Like...
Yeah, right.
He wasn't hooking up with fucking the chicks that you guys were hooking up with in the 80s.
Yeah,
and shit.
He was dealing with Courtney. He's dealing with Courtney.
Oh, imagine that.
I mean, Kiss did it. Kiss transitioned from the 70s. They went from the gimmick band to, like, we're a serious hair metal band, and that's when Paul Stanley ran that shit, right?
Well, they took their makeup off, and they're like, we're serious.
And then come 91, when the Revenge record came out, there was a flip in Kiss when they fired Eric Carr. They brought in Eric Singer, who's still the drummer for Kiss. Great drummer. He worked with Alice Cooper and shit. They brought in Eric Singer. The promo photos, when you look at Kiss from the Revenge, it's them wearing, like, these cool guy leather jackets, and Gene Simmons now has a goatee.
His hair was rocking.
That was the coolest Gene.
Yeah, it was the coolest Gene. That was him when he did that movie with Tom Selleck.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he was coolest looking Gene ever right then.
And the Gene songs on Revenge were really good. Like, he was, I mean, Domino, Unholy, Spit. Like, the man fucking killed it on that record, dude. Got no manners and I'm not too clean, but I know what I like. I love that shit. Unholy was dope. He's like, you send your children to war to serve bastards and whores. It's like, ooh. And Paul Stanley got even, like, grungier. He got, like, more edgier and stuff with his stuff because, like, he did. He's like, I want to see some asses shaking to the noise the boys are making, huh? He's like, he's legitimately saying titties in a song. Like, he's legitimately like, just like, slap me with your titties, Paul Stanley. Super rough, super tough, super cool. Ozzy went out of the hair metal phase too, in that right at that time frame with No More Tears. No More Tears was like the last.
Was Ozzy ever like hair metal though?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, totally. What's the fucking album? The Ultimate Sin. It was like right after Bark at the Moon.
I remember
after
him.
Shot in the Dark. Remember the song Shot in the Dark?
Yeah.
Shot in the Dark. A million times hair metal, dude. Like
spandex jumpsuit.
That fucking weird, wild blonde teased hair
you're right.
that he had.
You're right.
like it was a hard time to like not be a part of, like to not try to fit into that was like that big fucking hair thing. And then in the early 90s though, like by come 93, there was no band that was a hair metal band that was like still looking like a hair metal band, was there?
No.
Like, cause by that point, Metallica had blowed up. Metallica blew up in 91 with the Black Album blew the fuck up. And you know,
Enter Sandman was huge.
Huge. It was huge. The biggest shit.
Couldn't turn on MTV without the fucking semi.
Right.
And the fucking kid.
Guns N' Roses got a little bit more dressed down, I guess, you know what I mean? They were
going away.
Yeah, which is so weird.
Like, you know, 93, 94, all those bands were going away. Pantera took over.
Well, Pantera took over. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then changed shit. Like, 94 is when it started to swing away from fucking grunge and into... Pantera's a thrash band.
Right.
But definitely not what that scene was before. Do you know what I mean? Like, Pantera brought a whole new heavy.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah, they really did.
But they were also a hair metal band, so...
Could you imagine if the hair metal shit worked out for Pantera? What would that have done for Pantera's career?
Because if
people would have been exposed to that before they heard Cowboys from Hell
they would have never bought it. And they would have went out... They would have peaked with the other hair metal bands had they had done as well as the other ones were doing. You know what I'm saying? They would have peaked with them and faded out when fucking grunge came in. Pantera would have never been Pantera had they had made it as a fucking hair metal band.
Yeah, because
if their shit would have did well then... Pantera is never Pantera. You would have never fucking known that band ever. Would have never happened. Dimebag would have went down as the greatest fucking hair metal guitarist there ever was.
He would have been a studio guy. I think he would have been like one of those dudes that would like just jam frequently with like a fucking, you know, like dudes from Dream Theater on some project.
Right.
Or he would be the guy at all the NAMM Fest that you're just like, hey, he's going to go put on a guitar clinic and he's going to play with Billy Sheehan from Mr. Big and they're going to fucking
do
a crazy rock out prog shit. Like, he might have went prog.
Maybe.
He might have went prog.
Maybe. I know that, you know, Pantera would have never been Pantera had that happened.
But Pantera also, we got to give credit to the grunge scene once again for making Pantera make that flip, because if hair metal would have stuck around, there's a good shot that, you know, Phil would have been wearing leather pants and Vulgar Display of Power would have been Vulgar Display of Flowers, and they would have fucking, I mean, it could have been a whole different thing. Now, Nirvana...
I'm sure there's, like, some bizarro timeline, you know, in the universe where that is a thing.
It's so funny, too, because Nirvana, like, Kurt Cobain is notoriously known for, like, not... wanting to do anything other than just make some music and
be sad,
make a living off of it. He did not want to be the most famous dude in the world.
No,
so that attitude also fucking became part of the music culture in the early 90s, where musicians now weren't trying to be rock stars, they were trying to be anti-rock stars.
Yeah,
and so like you gotta get it. We were there. We lived it. We saw the fucking change from Axl Rose's King of the World to this 24-year-old kid who's on heroin, who's writing. I mean, I like Nirvana. I can never discredit Nirvana as far as music goes.
No, Bleach was a good album.
Bleach was such a good. That was heavy as fuck.
Yeah, Bleach
too.
Was heavy as balls.
Nevermind was great. In Utero was fucking great. They were great. Fucking, I loved it. I loved the attitude that they fucking brought on, man.
And they gave us Dave Grohl.
Dude, yeah.
F you if you don't like that guy.
Dude, seriously. Yeah, for real, fuck you.
For real, fuck you if you don't like Dave Grohl.
That's like the thing we talked about in the last episode. It's like people don't like Rush because it's just cool to not like Rush. Right. And it's like cool to say something shitty about Dave Grohl. What do I gotta hear about? Look, I get it. Foo Fighters aren't my favorite fucking band in the world. I do not hate their existence, though. Makes me closer with my stepfather. It's rock and roll that my stepdad's like, really like Foo Fighters. And I'm like, well, I'd rather listen to Foo Fighters than some of the other shit we could listen to. So, yeah, let's get in on it. Somebody getting the best of you? Is that why you hate fucking Dave Grohl? Somebody getting the best of you?
It's weird to think of how different things would be if just small little things.
Just little things. If things would have popped off at a certain points in certain bands' careers, like, who knows if they would have even lasted more than a year.
I'm glad that we got the Pantera that we got.
Oh, for sure.
Because that band was everything to me. You know, in my late teens, mid to late teens and shit. That Pantera was... it was the driving force for me to try and not be such a shithead, man. I was still doing a bunch of shitty things as a teenager, but... just what they had to offer me musically matched up with who I was emotionally at the time.
Yeah,
as a kid, I needed that band. You know, I needed that band,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me what I needed. It was my dealer, gave me my fix.
Even though, like now, when you look back on it, there's like a few things that I'm kind of like, oh, maybe. I don't think the Confederate flag shit would fly so much nowadays, you know, but like also I don't think they were being racist with it. But then Phil Anselmo, every couple of years he'll get drunk and remind you, no, we kind of were. Maybe I was a little bit.
I wasn't real racist.
First of all, you gotta understand, I grew up in the South.
This kind of racist.
I was a kid in the 70s in the South. What do you want? Somebody asked me once, they go, does Nirvana really deserve all the credit that they get? And it's like, yeah, dude. Like, if you would have seen that fucking shift, it shifted like a fucking paradigm, sir. It went from black to white.
Like, they deserve it just like the Beatles deserve it.
Damn right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Beatles invasion.
I mean, they changed culture.
They changed everything. Same thing, man. Like, regardless of how you feel about their music,
mm-hmm.
I don't like a lot of Beatles shit, especially the earlier stuff. I like the stuff when they were on drugs. But it's like, you can't, what are you going to take it away from them? They changed the course of history musically.
Yeah.
Same thing with Nirvana. It just is what it is. And if you don't like Nirvana but have never heard the album Bleach, go listen to that. Maybe you'll like that. It's a bit different. Feds, still fucking feds.
We're gonna play you out with some In Cold Fucking Blood. It's actually called just In Cold Blood. In Cold Blood. I'm gonna go see them. They're gonna be playing the show with Integrity and State of Conviction. I'm not giving you the date because once again, that's your fucking job. In Cold Blood is going to be playing at Annabelle's at the end of this month, March 29th.
He's gonna give you that date.
I fully intend on being there. Two of the bands that are playing on that show, I absolutely adore with everything I am. If we put out a compilation album, I would love to have these bands on it. Talk about Wall Creeper, talking about Feds. If I ever booked a show in my bedroom and just wanted two bands to play, I'd consider Wall Creeper and Feds.
Is that in your bedroom?
Anywhere.
You want Wall Creeper and Feds in your bedroom?
I do. Except for Burgess. Because he would just say mean things to me the whole time. He'd be like, hey, you know you're a bitch.
And like, I'm like, laugh at you.
I want to kiss that dude on the mouth, that show. Fuck it. I want to just kiss him on the mouth. But here's some In Cold Blood for that ass. Come hang out. I'm trying to get a babysitter, so maybe you can see me and my wife, and you can buy us a CD or something.
Or a cocktail.
Or a cocktail.
Buy the Eagles a cocktail.
I'll take a cocktail.
They don't get out much.
We don't. We don't.
Hello.
So here's some In Cold Blood. Until next week, my name is Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
Thanks.
Bye. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, hope you liked it. Yeah.
Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.